All right, welcome to Game Chat. This week on August the 7th, it's hard to believe it's August already. On August the 7th, we were talking about Valhalla or VA11 Hall A. That's how it's spelled, guys. Which is a bartending RPG, I think is how they phrase it. Yeah, cyberpunk bartender action RPG. by the developer was I'm going to totally butcher this, Sukebon Games. And the publisher was, oh gosh, Ysbryd Games. Ysbryd Games. Yes. But they're actually bringing out, I think it's supposed to come out this year, Y2K. Which is a postmodern RPG that's being developed by the same people and published by the same people. So,
yeah, I'm
looking forward to it.
There's screenshots crazy of it hidden in the game files.
Oh, yeah. I know that they. What was it? I didn't see any screenshots, but I saw that they mentioned it somewhere. Oh yeah, it was in one of the articles. In one of the articles, in the online news that she read, that Jill read when she was in her apartment, it mentioned Y2K, a Y2K game. Which I was like, oh, yeah. So apparently they'd been developing that game for a while. Again, welcome to Game Chat. We'll go ahead and do our, and if you guys have read here, we're going to do our intros. So just say your name as well as your favorite drink. It doesn't have to be alcoholic. It can be soda or chocolate milk or Capri Suns. Oh gosh, I miss those. Okay. But starting out up at the top.
Hey, it's Franco and, oh geez. Diet Pepsi, I guess, if you're...
Okay, cool.
It's Madeline, and I really like gin in mixed drinks.
Yeah. Next.
Heaven and... I like Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea?
Yep.
Beautiful.
It's Chris. I really don't drink, so for non-alcoholic, regular iced tea.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Unsweetened.
Wow.
Man. Yeah. I did find that the Peaks unsweetened iced tea is actually rather good.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's a nice strong flavor, so.
Huh. There you go. My name is Steph, and I drink water like a fish, but if you're going for alcoholic, I'm going to go for a really light Kentucky bourbon. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm all happy. Okay, well, again, we are discussing Valhalla this week, but this was our July month chat game, or otherwise known as the weekend before we have to discuss a game.
Our panic July term paper.
yeah. It is exactly like a term paper. Like, you know, we have the best intentions. Like, we know for a month we're supposed to play this game. And then we have the best intentions. And then it's like, you know, like the week before, we're like, oh crap, that's due next week.
It's like your summer reading.
Speak for yourself. I was actually playing the game, I think at the beginning of July. No, not the beginning, more the mid-July. I got so frustrated I gave up.
Yeah.
So I stopped, I think, at like day 9.
Stanton is both the best and the worst of us. all in one.
I started in the very beginning of the month, and then I just got distracted playing other stuff.
Mm. It's easy to do.
And then restarted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get into discussing the game. It was, for those listening, as I said, Valhalla is described as a cyberpunk bartender action RPG that you play as Jill. That's the main protagonist. It's mostly first person, except for, I think, like one instance in the game where you actually see Jill. But you play as the bartender. You go to work. Most of the game takes place of you being behind the bar, serving customers as they come in, and you chat with them. There's no dialogue options, but how the customers respond to you and chat with you, and how and things they say to you is determined on how well you serve them, and if you serve them the correct drink that they ask for. Some of them are very direct with what they ask for. Some of them are not very direct. Like that one fine gentleman that only gave you riddles when he came in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's kind of a guess. And sometimes towards the end of the game, they come in and they're like, my usual, which that was horrible for me because I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to give you a piano woman. That's what I'm giving you. So it's a terminal in that you have interactions with your boss and with another guy that works there as well. And then at the end of your work day, you collect your money. Of course, how much you take home depends on how well you did. And then at the end of the day, you're at your apartment. You can buy things. Like, it just has a little screen where you can buy things. You can check your phone before you go into work the next day. And then other little things happen. But basically a text RPG of sorts, I guess you could say. So it was the game style was very interesting. I've never seen another game that was dependent upon serving drinks and mixing drinks. How did you guys feel about that? Do you think that added to the gameplay? Did you enjoy that mechanic? Or do you think did you not like it?
For me, it got monotonous.
Mm, yeah.
And it was just like, can I have more of a challenge here?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I learned about the keyboard shortcuts, because without them, the game would have been a lot more frustrating.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about the keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah, because otherwise you have to manually drag everything in.
Yeah.
Yep.
I kind of found it a little soothing to drag everything. But then I find kind of meditation in monotony. I'm that kind of person sometimes. So I actually didn't mind. It felt like actually like adding stuff. Like I was actually like mixing the drinks. Like I was like, oh, you take this and I don't know. It kind of added another element for me. But I agree with Chris. Like, it did seem like... I kind of wish, and I kind of put this later on, but I kind of wish that they would have added more drinks after, like, as you went through the game.
Yeah.
Added more of a challenge to certain things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. And it's just, it seemed like it was just the same drinks over and over and over again. It's like, have more variety here?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I got, I think, two new drinks. I didn't finish the game. I only got to Christmas Day or the Christmas party or whatever. But I got, like, I bought some tea at the store. Yeah. And then I could, like, I think I gave it to one person who was just like, give me something.
Yeah.
And then... somebody gave me a bottle of that we think is rum, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Giving that to a couple of people.
There's also a secret drink that's in there for getting Easter egg characters from another game, I think, that we picked, the like 2064 Read Only Memories or something.
Did the same people do that?
it's, I think it's one of the games that we picked for later on, or at least
right, she picked it. Right, I was asking, like, I wonder if the same developer did that game. I don't know, but they could have just been friends or something. I don't know. That's yeah. interesting. I saw about the tea when I was reading a walkthrough, not a walkthrough, but I was reading about the different endings in the game that you could get, which weren't that extremely special than, you know, from each other. But one of them was if you bought the tea, that you, if you served it to
Kiki the, something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you served it to Kiki coming in. Yeah, yeah. The pop idol. Cyborg, but yeah, that you could get that you got a special, you know, achievement for that. When she, because there's a time she comes in and asks for a tea drink.
Yeah, it's the first time she comes in.
If you do it the first and second time, you get end up getting concert tickets at the end.
Oh, that's right. That's it. Oh
man,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would have been really cool. Which would have been really.
That's why there's New Game Plus.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, there's New Game Plus. I usually my chances of replaying games is very low just because of there's 1,000 games out there. But yeah, for sure. If you have the time and you enjoyed it, which I did, you can definitely hit the New Games Plus there. So how did you, because I know that Chris Stanton mentioned something last week about that he felt that, like, why should he care about the main protagonist, Jill, who you play, or why should he care about the characters? Did you guys feel connected to Jill as, you know, as you were playing her?
At the beginning, it was difficult to really get a grasp on Jill. I can't put my finger on what when the storyline pops up about when Gabby comes in and drops off and lets her know that her ex-partner Lenore passed away. And that's when, I mean, if that, I wish that would have happened a lot earlier in this, in the game.
Yeah.
Cause that's sort of when you sort of like got interest in Jill.
Oh yeah.
It was, yeah, and she got attracted. A lot more exposition of what's going on in her head. So before that, it's sort of like, yeah, dragged. And you just seem like, I mean, what's, you know, you're questioning your purpose in this game, you know?
Yeah.
I felt like Jill was, like, thin enough, like, as a character that you could kind of put your own opinions of what she was.
Yeah.
It was kind of limited, though, because you don't ever get dialogue choices.
Yeah.
You're just reading whatever she's saying, and then you can't see. I think there's only, like, one time where you switch, and then you can actually see Jill's, like, body language while she's talking.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of, that would be limiting, I guess, and if you're trying to get a good idea of how she feels as she's saying this stuff. But mostly, I felt like a lot of what I feel when I'm at work and I like have to be in a patient's room to do stuff and the patient's just talking because they like feel awkward or because it helps them feel like they're in control of the situation, or they have family there and they're talking as well. And like, I just kind of have to be in the room. And so that was how I felt as Jill the bartender, because especially for people that come in with other people and they're having conversations and just kind of like awkwardly standing there polishing glasses. That's exactly how I feel at work. And I like, have to be in the room to do something, but other stuff is going on. I'm just like, well, I'm gonna go chart, bye. Except you can't as a bartender.
Right. You can't tell them to get out. You just gotta just be like, okay, can I get you anything? No? Okay.
Fine. Yep.
Kevin, Chris, did you guys feel similar?
Yeah, that, like, it. Well, it's a visual novel, pretty much, as a game with some slight more, I guess, well, it has, like, a game mechanic in addition to what's usually in a visual novel. But yeah, I kind of felt like your Jill is kind of used as a vehicle for the player.
Yeah. I mean, even reading visual novels, though, like, I feel if a good, well-written visual novel with good, well-written characters can pull you in and make you feel connected with the protagonist, even though you have no choice in how the visual novel goes. So, you know, even without the choices, like, if it's a well-written character, it will pull you in. But I agree with Madeline that she wasn't fleshed out a lot, but I think that she was just fleshed out enough to kind of form her into what you kind of wanted her to be. But I also think that, I mean, I felt kind of connected to her pretty quickly. But I liked, and I think just because I liked that she, and I read this in the Wikipedia page that I linked, and a few reviewers that reviewed the game were talking about how she isn't, you know, that they like that she's a flawed character, that she doesn't have a complete hold on her world, and that she is, you know, that she is broken. Mm-hmm. In sorts, you know, and is struggling and dealing with things that people do deal with. And I think I kind of like that about a lot of the characters in the game. And you can give me your opinion on what you think of the other characters as well. But, you know, I liked that it covered various issues, not deeply and not really like trying to fix them or trying to really make an extreme point about them, but it did bring them up, and you had characters struggling with different things. Mm-hmm. And I think, in a way, the game excelled in that, you know, of course, that's kind of Jill's job, is listening to people's problems. I get that. But it never made the intention to be like, we're going to fix these characters and make them perfectly okay. But it was just about listening and understanding people and accepting them for who they are while still encouraging them to to be okay.
I think that might have been one of my problems with the game too, was mm-hmm. that it was just like, okay, you're coming to me with all your problems and everything. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do with this? It's like, yeah. Why do you want me to care if I'm just sitting here serving drinks? Yeah. I mean, I guess you can look at it as like, that's the real life of being a bartender, where you're just kind of there to listen to people's problems. But, you know, I'm playing a game, I kind of want some more interactivity than just being like, oh yeah, that really sucks, you know.
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. oh god, here's this guy again, now I have to deal with him. You know, type of thing. So
yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, so what do you guys think about the other characters in the game? Did you feel that they were fleshed out? Did you like their, you know...
I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
I found the Twitch streamer to be especially amusing.
Especially sure you would.
Especially with the... with all the live stream chat.
Yes, the text.
Going over it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There she is.
It was actually
streamer Chan.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's like how people are in like those chats sometimes. Like,
oh yeah,
with Twitch and live streaming, it's just like, it's sometimes a bunch of nonsense, and then like, you know, if you go into some of these like, I hate to say it, but these female streamers who, you know, they have a lot of followers, you know, you'll get a lot of like, you know, I love you, you're the best.
Right, and, you know, and the premium content, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, the premium content. Yeah, she was interesting. Yep.
There were some fun quotes in there, like, not the bees!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was cool. She was cool. I really liked, you know, oddly enough, I really liked, dang nabbit. Doris,
Dorothy?
Dorothy,
that's it.
That's wow. The robotic escort.
I love Dorothy. I love her.
She was probably the most well-adjusted. Because she just took everything in stride. Yeah, okay, this is what I do. You know.
She was.
She reminds me a lot of a really good friend that I made in nursing school. Who's 100% human. So
yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a cyborg.
What did they say? 40% organic minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked her. I really liked her.
Never disappointed when Dorothy popped in.
Yeah.
And I think they might have, you know, looking back, they might have, like, I'd say maybe three characters, maybe four characters too many. Because, you know, I enjoyed Dorothy, I enjoyed Alma, the hacker, the blonde-headed hacker, Stella, and I can't remember the her partner's name, the White Knight, the ambulance, or medic, I guess you would call it.
It was S-E-I. I always pronounce it Say in my head.
I mean, they had interesting fleshed out stories, mm-hmm. so, you know, you sort of felt, you know, drawn into it with them.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, the other ones, like Deal and, I guess, her robotic friend. What was it?
Patrice and Deal.
Patrice and Deal. Yeah, like,
they're from the prologue.
From the dogs.
They're the two humans along with another person in the prologue.
Deal is a Lilim.
Yes.
But he's a robot.
Patrice is the vet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those,
I don't know if anybody else played the prologue, but I did end up laughing because Patrice had broke up with her girlfriend Veronica, and I'm like, oh, Archie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, for those listening, there's a prologue that you can play that's included with the game now. But like, if you don't play the prologue, the game starts out with you just got off of this like big night. It was just one night, right? That the dogs were there whole weekend. It was for three nights. Like, they had a bunch of corgis in the restaurant, and these corgis in this game, corgis could, well, I think all the animals, I mean, because her cat Four could talk too.
Yeah.
She would talk for the cat. The cat wasn't actually talking. She was just making voices.
When was that revealed?
When the first time you had the discussion, or the first time your boss comes over.
Oh, I didn't get it until the Christmas party.
Oh, okay, because they were over, and then she noticed that that Jill was talking for Four, and she's like, oh, so you do that all the time?
I always just thought that Four wouldn't talk in front of people and other people. He would just talk to her.
And it was funny because she kind of just, like, blows it off as, like, yeah, doesn't everyone?
I mean, I do that for my dogs.
I do.
Oh, yes.
But at the Christmas party, she says it was they're playing Truth or Dare, and she says it was her childhood dream to be a ventriloquist. And then her boss is like, is that why you make the cat talk all the time?
I miss that. I didn't get there. It's funny. It's really funny.
Oh. I ended up having that get revealed because I got her drunk during the beers with the boss scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how much to drink there, but
You had to be over six.
Okay.
Yeah, I drink like.
I think seven. I think if you drink all of them, the conversation ends early.
You pass out.
Oh, my God.
Just drink them all at the first sentence, and then.
Well, see, I kind of forgot. I kind of thought that Jill would drink them like herself, mm-hmm. and would just drink. But it was like halfway through the conversation, I don't know about halfway, but we had been talking for a while, and I was like, Jill hasn't taken any drinks yet. And then I noticed, it says drink right here, so obviously I'm supposed to press this button. And then, so I pretty much chugged like 7 beers, probably within a 15-minute time span. That was fun. So one of the elements of the game was that each day, well, not even each day, it was also when, because you had a break halfway through your day, your work day as well, where you took a quick break and could save your game. Sometimes things happen, but not very often during your break. But you could load the jukebox with different songs. You had a whole list of songs you could choose from. I'm guessing some of them were unlocked if you got certain achievements in the game, because some of mine were still locked up whenever I got to the end.
Others you bought.
Oh, okay.
A few of them you buy.
You buy songs.
Yeah, some of them you buy because when, like, some of them you get from magazines and stuff you buy because it's like, oh, Jill's humming this song. If you buy this magazine, it'll, I think it was.
Yeah.
Get
the song.
Yeah. So did you guys like the jukebox thing?
At first I did, and then it kind of got bored with it. So I just left the same 12 songs in there and just, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I could have auto-filled it. Like randomly.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that too.
I didn't notice until late in the game, up top in this bar screen, if you clicked where it says, you know, VA11 Hala in red, you get the radio interface,
and you can actually skip forward,
skip some songs. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. I was like, damn.
Yeah, or if you click the jukebox button.
Yeah, that's what it was. Jukebox. You click the jukebox button. Yeah, and you can change channels on the TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I didn't.
Yeah.
Nothing special though.
Nothing special.
Yeah. Nothing special.
The dude on channel one is like a blue cat, and it says like cool on it. He looks. It does. It says it like that, but he looks exactly like the dude on an episode of Black Mirror, where it's like a blue. It's a blue cat that's like basically a animated character that hosts a late night talk show, and it's kind of crass, but anyway, he ends up running for local office against some like actual politicians. That dude looks exactly like that blue cat.
I don't think I noticed that. That's interesting. That's funny.
That's how he talks. He says cool.
That's funny.
Yeah. The music was probably my favorite thing of this game, but only like half of it, because it seemed like half of the music was kind of like your standard visual novel background music fare, and then the other half of it is a lot more like electronica
stuff. Yeah.
Like if you've ever listened to anything by Pendulum, a lot of the music in the game reminded me of their stuff. So that was fun.
Yeah.
And I'd like periodically, I'd be like, we're having a really heavy conversation and we have some like really crazy music in the background. Maybe I should like pause it for a little bit and let us finish our deep conversation.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. There were some times where before I figured out that you could click on the jukebox and or change songs and fast, you know, pause or whatever. I was like, oh, wow. Like this music really fits. Like sometimes it would really fit like what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then sometimes, like, yeah, it was completely off. And I was like, well, this doesn't match up at all. yeah. Yeah, I got a little, I got a little tired. As Frank was saying, I kind of felt that way too, Frank. Of just like, I kind of wish it would just autofill sometimes. I just didn't. I think I just wanted to get to the actual dialogue and the actual story. And so I was like, okay, like, is just let me just take this away, please. Someone take care of this for me. I should have hired Madeline to fill in my
there you go
every day. There you go.
Or you just, you know, you had the jukebox button available at any time, you know, so it's like,
why do I have
to keep on, you know, saying okay? Yeah.
I kind of wish that like there were because I kept expecting and kept wanting there to be like for someone to like comment on what was being played, or for that to have some kind of effect on the game itself, which is probably asking a lot. But I was just like, you know, is this going to like, I kept expecting that, and then it didn't happen, so I just stopped caring.
Right, yeah, that's what happened.
So let's see. The game considers itself cyberpunk. I mean, I personally am not that familiar with cyberpunk, honestly. I think like things that I've watched and seen that have cyberpunk elements I enjoy, but I haven't like dived into that world. So like, I know some of you have, and you like cyberpunk. Did you think that this was cyberpunk, or how did you feel about the cyberpunk elements in the game?
It's cyberpunk.
Yeah. What makes it cyberpunk? I'm curious.
It's usually a future society with technology elements that has like law, like a dictionary definition is genre science fiction centered along the subculture of an oppressive society dominated by computer technology.
Okay, that fits.
So, yeah, you have robot people. So,
yeah,
and but nanomachines.
But that's not necessarily cyberpunk, though. Yeah. Like I think of cyberpunk as more like, it's an over-industrialized world, and it's dark and rainy all the time. I mean, that's just, I'm basically the movie Blade Runner. But also, like, the idea that corporations control everything, and they kept talking about, like, this company that runs their town.
Yeah, or BTC and the other one was.
The something.
Yeah.
The company that owns the White Knights.
I hope there isn't like necessarily government or anything anymore. It's all privatized, but not in never in a good way.
Right. There was, I mean, I'm not cyberpunk or anime, and I was like, you know. So I was a lot of stuff went over my head, inside joke wise. But I still, I mean, managed to enjoy it, I guess. I was fascinated with the concept of the nanomachines. Apparently, what, injected at birth, or it's just you just have to get them, or
no, you can inject them. I think you can get them injected anytime.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, but later in the game, you realize, you know, there's a storyline where, you know, a lot of people have problems with nanomachine rejection and all that. So
yeah, that was what, and then yeah, you had the cat boomers, which was Say's false friend,
Stella. Yeah.
Stella, yeah. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, she was a cat boomer, which was children that were implanted with it at birth, pretty much, with the cat ears, which really wasn't a cyber thing, but it was something similar. So.
Something that just formed because of the nanomachines. Yeah.
Excuse to have cat people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they don't even actually, I was reading the wiki, they don't function as...
Right.
Yeah, they explain later on. They're just
yeah,
bumps on her head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jill talks to Gil about that, because Gil asks her questions about it. And so she explains it to him, you know, because she keeps calling them, I think, protrusions, I think is what she keeps calling them. And that they're basically, which is interesting because, you know, granted, if that would ever happen, if someone was like, yeah, like, and they try it of implanting these, like, you know, I think it was done in the fetus, correct? Like, it was done while they were still, before they were born.
Yes.
And if someone did that and it actually came out with, like, you know, this cute little kid had cat ears, you know that there'd be an entire population of people that'd be like, I'm getting that done. We're having a kid. We're having a cat kid.
Yeah, that's why it's called cat boomers.
Yeah.
Because it originally was to refer to the parents.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I find also fascinating with this, like, whole, like, with the whole, you know, cyberpunk and, you know, this whole thing of the augmentations that people were getting in this game. You know, to like the, like Alma, who,
she had her hands cut off, she was
a hacker. So she used her, you know, she typed in the keyboard all the time, and to prevent from getting carpal tunnel, which is what she told Jill, to prevent from getting carpal tunnel, she just had her hands cut off and replaced with the cybernetics,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With the cybernetic hands. And, you know, and she was like, it protects from that. And also I can hack, you know, I can get data from things. I can just, you know, hook into things a little bit easier. But, yeah. And like, but what I find fascinating, what I'm getting to slowly, is that people would actually, yeah, if that was available, people would actually do that. Like people, like, you know, people would actually be like, heck yes, sign me up. Like mm-hmm. I want, like, you know, I'm having trouble with my arm. My arm doesn't work. You know, it's frozen. It keeps getting frozen. You know, doesn't move properly due to this injury that I got when I was, you know, running, you know, doing something in high school. Yes, replace it, please.
I was beaten by the White Knights on a street corner.
Exactly. Exactly. Please replace my arm. But
then you had the whole head in a jar thing.
Oh, yes, so weird. Taylor.
Which actually turned out to be the writer of one of Jill's favorite books. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, later on. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like when, because Jill says later on, like, one of her favorite books, which I completely forgot the title. And she talks about this, and she reads in one of the message boards, I think, or someone. No. Someone brings it up in conversation, I think, that like, oh, they say the author of this book is just a brain in a jar, and you know. So, I mean, it could be him. It might not be, but I thought that's a little coincidental for a brain in a jar to all of a sudden just show up. I don't know how he gets around, or she, but...
They.
What was his name? Thomas?
Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah.
Oh, I did like George Costanza in there.
Oh, yes. Arthur Vandelay.
Yeah.
Art Vandelay.
Yes, Art Vandelay, for those listening, was a private detective who was hired by Stella to find Say at some point, but then he also came in another time to ask questions about someone else, I think.
Cinnamon Rose? He was looking for a girl named Cinnamon Rose.
Crimson Rose,
you're right. Crimson
Cinnamon
Rose.
Cinnamon Rose is a stripper name. Anyway.
Okay. All right. You know, every time that kind of stuff would happen, I think the game was trying to make me, you know, go off on a search or something. It's like, you know, waiting for Crimson Rose to come in or something. It's like,
who's the quest giver?
Yeah. Who is the quest giver in this game? Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, Art, aka George Costanza, and they even ask him later if he celebrates Festivus.
Yes.
Jill was like, "You seem like the person that would celebrate Festivus," and he was like, "Because in the game, for this thing, like they celebrate what they call Mega Christmas, which was basically
on anime, I guess. Yeah.
No. Wasn't it a wrestler? It was wrestling.
Somehow, yeah, some convoluted story where
one of the wrestlers,
old father Christmas got defeated or something.
Would
wrestle
Santa Claus and something, and he turned into Mega Christmas, which then they made into a holiday. So I think, from what I understand, that most of the population, instead of celebrating Christmas, or at least here in this city, in Glitch City, they celebrate Mega Christmas instead of
regular fried chicken.
Yes, with fried chicken. spicy chicken wings. But yeah, so, you know, Jill was asking Art, aka George Costanza, if he celebrated, because he was talking about how Mega Christmas was just a marketing tool, and how we're getting away from the real reason of Christmas. I was like, oh, this argument's still going on. This is great. This is great. Years and years later, because it takes place in 2069. Is it 2069? Or no?
Yeah, something soon? Like that. Yeah.
I'm just trying to find it, but I don't think I'm going to find it in record time. Okay. Yeah. So the game also mentions, which Madeline brought up in one of her questions to me, mentions the ring cycle a few times. Is anyone familiar with the ring cycle, which is
an opera by Richard Wagner?
Yes.
Based on, you know, the story of Siegfried that goes in and wakes Brunhilde, gets the ring. If you have seen Lord of the Rings or read Lord of the Rings is fanfic by Tolkien of the ring cycle, like from the original version, not necessarily from the opera. But like the bar is called Valhalla.
Yeah.
And the weird dude that keeps coming in and asking, you know, giving cryptic orders, says, you know, I expected to see, you know, all the warriors feasting and the Valkyries presiding over and and he's like, oh, it's the Habanera, the Twilight of the Gods, because it was the first day he comes in is when all the explosions are happening, like the sonic booms are happening outside. So the Habanera is not the Twilight of the Gods. Habanera is a pepper.
And it's also a reference to like some other song or something. He gives a bunch of false information and stuff.
Yes. But the Twilight of the Gods, if you want the, I guess the Viking term is Ragnarok, right? But then the German term would be Götterdämmerung, which I'm sure is a terrible pronunciation, but that's the Twilight of the Gods. But it's really weird that he brings it up right when, like, a lot of the stuff is starting to go down at the bank.
Yeah.
And, like, Jill goes home and reads the blog, or not the blog, but the message board, and it's like, you know, I just got beat up by all these, the White Knights, and I'm just sick of all this stuff. And so he seems a little bit, I haven't finished the game, so pardon my incomplete musings, but he seems a little bit of a harbinger, even though he's so wacky, but he seems to come in and kind of give you clues about what's going to happen next. In the game.
Are we talking about the guy with the, I guess his name begins with a V, that's sort of obtuse, or
Finn.
Or the third guy?
Virgilio.
Yeah.
Armardinita. Whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, he's a stockier guy with sunglasses and stuff, yeah.
The question his design and name
are based on a on another like some art video game YouTube parody character of the same name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I noticed that they mentioned stuff like that, and I just kind of, because I'm very vaguely familiar with Norse mythology just from it being brought up in different media mostly. So I just took it as, you know, I was just like, oh, it's just, you know, since it's Valhalla, because I knew that that was, you know, I don't want to say a Norse word, but it's their form of heaven, correct?
Well, it's where the warriors go.
Where the warriors go after when they die in battle.
And then they fight there forever or something.
Every day they have a massive battle, then they sit down and have a massive feast, and they do it again.
Gosh, man.
Rinse and repeat. Yep.
Sounds exhausting.
I mean, that's like, you could look at Valhalla's forward-thinking commentary on gamer culture.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Forward-thinking from like the 300s.
I have a, I had that website.
There's art.
Somewhere. Oh, good old art. But yeah, just I mean, if you're interested, you know, just Google search the ring cycle. Very interesting.
You're the one I sent you.
Well, yeah, I was going to link that, but I I have like a million tabs open.
Oh, you're fine.
It's not working right now. There we go. Yeah, it's very interesting. And for the if you've ever seen, like, Madeline reminded me of this, and I about died, but if you've ever seen, like, Looney Tunes and Elmer Fudd, and the whole, like, there's a whole, like, musical thing where he, I'm not going to sing it, Kill the Rabbit.
I'll sing it.
No. Yes. Kill the Rabbit. Kill the Rabbit. Yeah.
There we go.
That was it.
Which That's is,
yeah. Ride of the
Valkyries.
Yes. Podcast Symphony. Great. Okay. All right.
Auto-loop.
Yeah, so moving up, very interesting. An interesting question that we might have covered this a little bit already, but are there any? There are a few things. Are there any like stories or any stories from different characters or stories concerning Jill that you wish were explained a little bit more? Because it seemed to me like there were some things that were brought up, but then never really like came to fruition. Yeah.
And the ones that they do, I mean, they sort of just all, like, there's like a crescendo at the end of all the stories, you know, with Jill's story hitting the peak at the very last couple days. And then the one I was, like, wondering, I mean, did anybody get that the ghost character Anna to show up?
Yes.
And at the very end, I mean, there's a huge reveal on that, and I'm like, oh,
Well, what are you talking about? Huge reveal, Frank.
That Anna is actually the ghost of the daughter that adopted Dorothy to raise Dorothy.
I didn't get that at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, yeah,
that's what Dorothy. I guess Lilims are raised or adopted, I guess, for their first couple years of upbringing, which is brought out in the game, and the fact that she goes on to explain that. The woman that brought her along for the first couple of years was always infatuated with her daughter, and she was one of the few people that actually survived Nana rejections, only to be hit by a truck. Oh. And here, it's because she was complaining at times because one of Dorothy's middle names is Rebecca, or her first name is really Rebecca because she named her after, I forget what if she named her after the daughter or not, or for some reason, but Anna would always say a couple times to Jill, take care of Becky.
Yes.
And
I heard that once. Yes.
And that's her referring to Dorothy.
Oh, that's so very interesting.
That was a huge reveal at the very end. And it was like, oh,
see, I didn't get that reveal. I didn't get that reveal.
I wonder if that was a trigger by something. I don't know.
Yeah, it must've been, well, you weren't evicted from your, so
no.
You went back and played.
You didn't manage to pay rent.
No. Yeah. I didn't have money, and I'm not the kind of I'm just not that kind of gamer to where I'm just like, I need to go back and like do everything perfectly to make this happen. I'm like, if I don't have the money, I don't have the money. I'm going to see this to the end. Mm-hmm. And so I did.
Back twice.
Since you made your rent.
Yes.
Well, obviously, like how was that revealed? How was that information revealed? Did I mean who told? Oh,
I guess what is it? I don't know if it was just before or just after Christmas, after you paid the $8,000 utility bill.
Awesome. Yeah.
Your next notice is that you on the 29th of the month you have $10,000 due.
You have the $10,000, right?
Right. So, which is pretty rude because on the morning of the 29th, that's like the first time I had to go back because. Like the morning of the 29th, the 10,000 was due. I thought I had like the whole day of the 29th
right.
to raise some more money. And I was like,
whoops.
Yep, whoops. I was like $800 short. And I'm like, oh my God. So I went.
When was the whole Dorothy thing and the ghost thing revealed?
At the very end.
Okay. So it must have been an ending thing because I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think it was an. Yeah, yeah. It might have been an ending. Was on one of the ending roles. You know,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, at the end, if you make the rent, Gabby stays with you. Comes.
Yeah, she stays with me too. Yeah. Yeah, with the other one too.
Right, and then at the end, you get like several dates, depending on your achievements. You know, several endings you could get. added on endings that depending on how you serve drinks.
Oh.
Yeah, it's part of the Dorothy ending. You have to end up getting like all perfect serving of drinks for
Dorothy.
Yeah.
So it does that. So that was one of the things they tacked on after the credits?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. See, for me, it was just since I was evicted, I stayed with.
You get to stay with Alma.
Yeah. I stayed with Alma, and we snuggled a bit, which Joe was okay with.
It's also revealed that in the a demo that they included, which was an unreleased demo for the game. Where which takes place, because you start the game on a Tuesday, and that takes place on the Monday after the Corgi incident. You find out at the end of that day that the entire time you've been pouring, you've been making and then serving drinks to a, or what the boss thinks is a figment of your imagination.
Oh, okay.
Because she looks at the security camera and doesn't see Anna there. And she's like, somebody's going to have to mop up all those drinks spilled on the floor.
That's interesting because she references that towards the end of the game when the ghost comes back. She references, I've served you drinks before and I had to clean up the mess, so I'm not gonna serve you any alcohol. She said that once. I think she referenced it again. And so that confused me because not playing the demo. I was like, oh well, this is something particular to Jill. Like I thought it had something to do with Jill. And it kind of looked like her a little bit, so I was like, well maybe it's like, I don't know, like her seeing herself as she's younger, like maybe it's just like some kind of mental process, like, you know. But yeah, that makes sense there. And then if you get the Dorothy ending, that makes sense. Like they mentioned that somewhere about, I think someone talks about it, has a discussion with Jill about it, about how it's kind of believed that like the I think I might get this wrong, but that these people that would get Lilims, that would get the cyborgs to replace their children, that the ghost of their child would go into the cyborg or something of that nature.
I don't remember where it comes from originally, but like the idea that if you have a doll in the house that's similar to the child, if the child passes away, that its spirit may take over the doll.
So that all makes sense if you get all that together. You get the Dorothy ending, demo. So if you're listening, you haven't played the game and you want to play the game, play the demo and try and serve all of the best drinks to Dorothy.
When you get the $10,000 notice, it was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, I was.
Yeah,
Didn't realize you got big tips if you serve doubles, you know?
See, I don't know. I mean, I didn't calculate it because I'm not that particular, but I didn't notice like a huge increase in my income at the end of the day when I started serving double drinks all day instead of singles. But that could have just been me not noticing.
Yeah, you're supposed to give them the order, the double. I don't know if it increased. Don't know if it increases the price. But
no, it doesn't increase the price. It's just
a big drink if they ask for a big drink.
Right.
Yeah, it increases. I kept track. I went back. I went back and kept track.
Yeah.
And you start getting huge tips, like $200, $300 tips.
It's in the tip.
Yeah. Mr. Dawson is the one that usually wants the big drinks. You give him big beers all the time.
Yeah. He came.
So as long as you don't see, that's what I didn't kind of like. You know, about the game is, you know, they give you the store to buy stuff, and then, you know, upgrades for your apartment, and then, you know, they're sort of like setting you up, because then if you spend all that money, it's like there's no way you can afford the rent.
Well, and even with like, I didn't buy anything that Jill didn't ask for.
Exactly.
And for those listening, like, when she went home at the end of the day and you were in your apartment, your phone, like, it would usually prompt you if Jill was wanting to buy something, like a Christmas tree, mm-hmm. or a magazine, or and it said, if you buy these things, like, you know, Jill's thinking about this, if she gets it, she will surely focus at work. And if you buy it, it says Jill will focus at work now. If you don't buy it, because if she focuses at work, when people tell you they're what they want, she has, like, when it goes to the drink mixing screen, it explains, like, it has a little, like, a text bar, and Jill will tell you, okay, this person ordered a piano woman. Or sometimes it would give you hints, like, well, she ordered this, but she usually likes this kind of drink. So, you know, kind of tipping you off to kind of serve her, you know, something, you know, to serve, like, Dorothy or someone, like, something a little, you know, something else.
Yeah.
If you don't buy what she wants, there's no prompt. There's no help. If you miss what someone asked for, you miss it. There's no reminding.
Huge hit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes that was because when I stopped once it started warning me of the $10,000. And I think you, Frank, posted in the group to, like, you know, start saving your money, you know, if you want mm-hmm. to be able to make the rent. I started serving double drinks, and then I also stopped buying her the stuff that she wanted. And there were sometimes that I just had to load it back because I was like, I wasn't paying attention to what they just asked me.
Oh, and they wouldn't give you the hint at the end. Oh, wow.
No. If you don't buy what she wants, no.
I mean, then she'd, oh, okay. So that's what that was about. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you did buy, I mean, when I got the, yeah.
Yeah.
And then screwed up a couple of times because basically the only thing that was killing me was buying the tea. Because the tea's so expensive, it's $900.
Oh gosh. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it
was crushing me. And it's like, okay, I guess Kiki's not getting her tea.
Yeah.
And she didn't give me the even when I did buy her the tea, you had to buy her the tea early on.
Yeah.
Because I was buying the tea late and she didn't give me concert tickets anyway. And I'm like, well, screw that.
Yeah.
you have to know.
Somehow,
you have to basically buy it the first time you get access to the store.
Yeah.
But then you don't know that she wants it until you, like, go through a new game playthrough.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So, yeah, that's why I went back and restarted. You know, my earliest save was, like, day 16. So it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like that was, I mean, there.
I was the only crusher with it. You know, just. I was obsessed with making the rent.
You were doing good, Frank. You were doing God's work. you were doing what the rest of us, or what I myself was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I'll be okay. If I don't make the rent, I mean, I had enough friends. Someone would have taken me in. I don't think Dorothy has an apartment, but I mean, who knows where she sleeps? I mean, well, I mean, really, who knows? But
right.
I'm not sure that she has a place of residence to sleep on her own.
If you get the bad end, you're sleeping in the same bed as your boss, because your boss takes.
How is that a bad ending? How is that a bad ending?
I'm confused about that as well.
Like you're sharing. It's like it's a bad end because. You have to go and like you don't have your own apartment. You have to go and stay with your boss.
I got that ending, but I was in bed with Alma instead of the boss. But Jill was okay. Jill was okay. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She'll go on her feet.
All in all, it was much ado about nothing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was just something to make you stressed. while you were playing.
Yes, exactly. And I fell for the trap, yes.
Okay, so let's do final thoughts and scoring so we can start wrapping things up since we are at time. So Frank, starting with you, just final thoughts and your score for Valhalla.
Enjoyed it a little bit, somewhat. It was, as you know, it was a good game, not a great game. Stories, I guess, some were interesting, but some were just a little out there and diffuse. And I mean, you know, some of the side characters, I just were ending up being time wasters. But it was a shame that things didn't really get cooking until the latter half of the game with the, you know, some of the backstories with Jill and and some of the other characters. So it took, you know, at least I would think 10 days or so to, for things to get cooking, which, you know, lends to the the boring strike against it, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think they probably could have done this. I was thinking to myself after I finished, they probably could have done this in like in a fortnight, a 2-week cycle instead of like 19 days. They could have shortened it up. With a little less characters. So having said that, interesting. I give it a 7.5.
And Madeline?
I thought it was... I'm not going to score. I'm just going to give thoughts since I haven't finished the game.
Oh, right, right.
I thought it was really cute. I liked the people that came in. It did feel a little bit monotonous sometimes, but any job is going to feel monotonous, and so I guess that kind of ends up being up to the devs. How much do you want this to be like an actual bartending job, and how much do you want this to be fun for you?
Right.
I really enjoyed the music. I like some of the ideas that they played with in the world. Yep.
Okay. All right, Kevin?
I also didn't end up finishing it. That being said, I really like the game. Yeah, I do see the backing with or with what Frank said with some of the pacing. Having played the extra beginning prologue and the demo, ended up giving me a little bit more insight to some of the characters and stuff ahead of time. But yeah, it's a really cute, fun game. I wouldn't really kind of classify it as a game, more of a visual novel. It's more reading intensive.
Yeah. All right. Chris?
So the whole time playing this game, I kept asking myself, why should I care about these people? What is in this game that's making it compelling enough for me to even care about what's going on? And because of that, and not finding an answer, I stopped at day 9 or so. Because it would just get to the point where I was like, alright, I'll try and get through a few games, or a few days. And then I'd get through a day, and like 40 minutes had passed. And it's just like, this is just so monotonous. So I turn it off, take a break, come back the next day, try and do more, but still, again, just boring me the whole time. Because it's just, for me, there was nothing that was really engaging enough to have me keep going.
Sure.
Even with the dogs in the game, just still was not enough.
Dogs, yeah.
Which is sad, too.
So. There were a lot of dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of dogs.
So, like I said, I didn't finish. If I continued to play it, or to rate my... what I did play, I would have to end up giving it a 5.
So. Okay.
And I'm saying that because I'm probably never going to come back to
sure
finish it at all.
Understandable. I mean, oddly enough, like, I kind of liked it. I think I found myself, oddly enough, like, sometimes I'll, and sometimes I still did, but there's a lot of dialogue, especially text dialogue, like, sometimes I find myself in kind of spacing out and not really paying attention to what I'm reading or caring. Mm-hmm. I didn't find that to be the case with this game. Like, I felt pretty invested in what was being said. I don't know if it was just because it was different people with different lives and different, you know, that they were just saying all these crazy things and just talking all these crazy things. But I don't know. Like, I found the conversation interesting. Some characters more than others. But yeah, yeah. You know, I said, like, I wish that it would have gotten progressively harder, more difficult as you continued on, instead of just having the same menu, unless you bought more things, having the same menu and having the same things. So I kind of wish that was the case. It definitely could have been more polished here and there, but I thought the dialogue was okay for what it was. Yeah, it was just an interesting game. It was not what I expected. And definitely for those listening, I will say that it is mature rated. So there's definitely there's definitely a lot of adult dialogue
references
going on.
Yeah, adult references going on.
Yeah. You know, which I kind of sometimes I was kind of like, okay, like, we get it. But, you know, I was kind of, I kind of understood it as well. Yeah, so all that being said, I'll probably go with Franco and give it a 7.5. I feel like that's being a 0.5. Anyways, I feel like that may be just a little bit over, but I'm gonna go with 7.5. Yeah. So, and also, I linked the wiki here, guys. But if you're interested in reading more about that, if you're interested in the game, this wouldn't be a standard thing. If you're interested in the game, check out the wiki. Sometime there's some interesting facts there. There's an interesting thing about how the developers, which was mostly like two guys that worked on the story and the concept of this and the writing. They had someone helping with music, and of course they had producers, but mostly these two guys, but they based it on their experience growing up in Venezuela, which is very interesting. And so there's a nice little blurb on the wiki page about, not halfway down, I'm looking at it right now, but about how certain aspects of it, the story and just what was going on was based on some things that they experienced growing up in Venezuela, which is completely out there and unexpected. So thanks for playing the game, guys. I'm sorry that some of you didn't enjoy it as much. But interesting game. So our next game for next week, we are starting A Way Out, which was brought out this year, I believe. And brought out in March. It is available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Although I don't think it's on Steam.
No, it's on Origin.
But it's on Origin, so you have to get it off of Origin if you're going to get it for PC.
I'd be willing to play it with somebody I've played it through before.
If you don't have, for those in the group here, if you don't have a person to play with, just let the group know. I would post that in general chat, maybe, Kevin. So that way, if someone needs someone to play with, they can partner up with you. Because the game, for those listening, the game doesn't have, like, a matchmaking system, so you have to know someone to play with you, either couch co-op or online. So it can be either of those. It is, I don't know, I don't think you can, you play it first? Can you play it single player?
No.
No.
I don't think you can.
You could. You'd have a bad time, but.
Yeah.
You have to have a second controller and use your feet to use that one.
No, so. Thanks. No, thanks.
Oh, my God.
But it's from the same creators of Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, which we played here a year and a half ago, I think-ish. It's kind of the same concept, because Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons was kind of like you didn't have to play it two-player, but it was similar, but it helped. You could. Yeah, brought up by the same people. I played part of it last night and enjoyed it. I will say that it doesn't give very many cues as to what you should be doing, so you'll have to, like, hopefully you're playing with someone that you can puzzle solve with and work cooperatively with, because otherwise
you're gonna have a bad time.
You're gonna have a rough time. So play until our first stopping point, which I'll type here after I'm done. But for stopping point, the two main characters, Leo and Vincent, this is post-escape of the actual building. And because you are escaping a prison, that's not a story giveaway. That's pretty much, I mean, it's called a way out, guys. But you come across an abandoned campfire and you catch some fish and just kind of have a nice little campfire conversation, just the two of you. That's where you stop. There are chapters, but it doesn't tell you when the chapters are. So you will see like a chapter selection on the menu screen, but it doesn't say, hey, you're entering chapter 3, which I was kind of disappointed in. But yeah, so whenever Vincent and Leo, the two main characters, come across a campfire and they have a nice little campfire conversation and roast some fish and talk about things. And there's also, I think, a cut scene there too of the main bad guy. So stop after that. It auto saves. So that's all I got for you. And our month chat for August is Beyond Two Souls. So, which is available only on PlayStation. Yeah, that's our month chat for August. Yeah, so you can find us at thegamechat.net. Also, our podcast is on Stitch, Google Play, as well as
iTunes.
That's the name. We're also on Instagram as well as Twitter at thegamechat. But you can go to thegamechat.net and get us from there. We're also on Facebook as well in a group. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for chatting, and I'll chat at you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.